The Crazy Lady. I'll never forget something that happened several years ago. A middle-aged couple with several children moved into our area so they could get counseling. The woman didn't like the counseling they had received in the church where they had met and married. She thought that by moving into our community, where there were so many spiritual men, her husband would get some help. She wanted my husband to disciple him, to be his mentor, something Mike considers effeminate on the level she expected. For many years before their marriage, her husband had been a highly successful and prosperous businessman. But after they married, she expressed her disapproval of his participation in the business world. Nor did she like the area where they lived. She thought he should live by faith, which meant not working but staying home with their ever-expanding family. He had been Mr. Steady, a likable, even lovable, big teddy bear, always friendly and ready with a smile. She was given to words from the Lord. Her spiritual passions and commitments were deep, according to her. And he was convinced so as well. He was intimidated by her because he carried guilt from past sins, which she never let him forget, and he was somewhat awed by her otherworldly spiritualism. Several years before they moved to our community, because he wanted to make her happy and because he was awed by her closeness to the Lord, he relocated and modified his business as God directed her. But his new ventures never prospered. The lack of success at his age left him shaken, and he lost his courage. He saw himself getting older with a house full of homeschooled children, and he knew the poor business decisions could not be reversed. His frustration and insecurity were, to her, proof of his lack of faith. She tried to encourage him to a walk of faith, a life of miraculous deliverance, and maybe full-time Christian service. He grew more uncertain and desperate. Their marriage bed suffered. They had troubles, and they both knew it, and had been receiving marriage counseling. They had also been reading our literature and decided that our community would be their salvation. So, plop, here they were. It didn't take my husband and me long to see the source of their problems. It turned out, as we learned later, that we were in agreement with the counselors from their previous church. She was not her husband's helper. She was his conscience. She manipulated him with her deep spiritual discernment. She would describe her attitude toward her husband as encouraging him to a higher walk. We shared God's word with her, telling her that her disobedience and lack of reverence to her husband were sin. She was shocked that we would think she was disobedient to her husband. She was very committed to reading and studying God's word and loved to share with other women. The move to our area took up the last of their financial resources, and they were soon broke to the last dollar. When they did get a little money, she insisted on tithing it, believing God would return it manyfold. We warned her over and over against usurping authority and dishonoring her husband. She just couldn't believe that God would have her, a spiritual woman, stand up for and follow a carnal man. The foremost drive of her life was her own deep spirituality. She felt that the Spirit was her guide, and that what God said about and to women concerning their position in the chain of command was not relevant to her. She was the exception. Furthermore, she had read books and pamphlets and heard sermons that explained away the passages that seemed to limit a woman's role in the family and the church. They stated something like, "The original Greek word says," and what this really means is, "You see, Paul was speaking to cultural issues peculiar to that time. Surely God wouldn't command a woman to, in Christ there is no male or female. Weren't there women prophets?" She was totally deceived into thinking that her female intuition, sensitivity, and passions were spirituality. She had no idea that she was a woman in total rebellion against God. King Saul of Israel offered sacrifices to God, but he did so in disregard to the clearly revealed will of God. He thought the end justified the means. His motive was to glorify God. But God said his religious service was rebellion, equal to witchcraft, 1 Samuel 15:23. When a woman attempts to live for God contrary to his word, her spirituality is equal to witchcraft, because she is attempting to divine the will of God in total disregard of his clear written words. God calls such a woman Jezebel. It certainly was clear to my husband and me, her sin would be her destruction. It had already reduced her once strong, resourceful husband to a fearful, pitiful man. Over the years, the poisonous bile of her soul had been affecting her mind. One night, immediately after an especially powerful church service, while everyone was fellowshipping, I saw her approach my husband, rather overly excited, so I began to make my way to him in case he needed me. Just as I got close, I saw her begin to swing her arms in wide, jerky movements and heard her yell out loudly that her husband was in an adulterous affair with Marilyn Monroe, dead then for 50 years or so. She said she had a vision from God which explained all their troubles. About the time I got to her side, she began to name several of the young mothers with new babies in the church as her husband's sex partners, claiming the babies were his. My husband looked around, horrified at her filthy accusations, which we knew were lies from a deranged mind. Her rantings got louder. In order to drown out her ravings, my husband began to sing as loudly as he could, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I followed his lead and began singing with him. The startled congregation turned around and began automatically singing along. I put my arm around her and forcefully led the now totally crazy woman out the door. God had visited her with madness. He does fearful things like that. He didn't just allow it to happen. He was there to push her over the edge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. She had no fear of God. She should have. This lady believed she could force her husband to submit because she was spiritually anointed. She did not reckon on God. A woman who thinks she can walk her own way because she believes herself spiritually gifted has no fear of Almighty God. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Proverbs 22:8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. God was not mocked. That whole family still reaps what she sowed to this day. A wife without genuine fear of God can drift so far from reality that she needs sedatives to maintain an appearance of sanity.